great. Okay, well, I'm going to be presenting on an intervention study, a very small intervention study, which probably taps into some of the descriptive observational data that people have discussed so far. So very glad to be here. Our work has been done in Merced, California, in the middle of California. It's called also the Central Valley, where it's just very agricultural. And we're going to be focusing on Latinas with diabetes. No disclosures. What's unique here, and I think some folks have already mentioned this, is there's obviously a lot of correlated risk factors. And what we try to tap into here is the relationship between diabetes and breast cancer for Latinas. Obviously, we know that Latinas are one of the fastest growing ethnic groups compared to whites, high reproductive rates. Latinas have one of the highest prevalence of diabetes. So it's a great opportunity to say, how can we take advantage in the sense of something that's happening very frequently? They also have breast cancer is one of the leading causes of cancer deaths. Now, across all women, diabetic women are less likely to receive a mammogram, but specifically Latina diabetic women are even less likely to get a mammogram. So this was a collaborative study done with clinics and academic researchers, and we were actually going off of what the clinics were saying, and they said, hey, we'd love to do a study on health disparities, but how can we do it in a way that taps into what our patients are really struggling with? So the idea was to tap into what patients were struggling with, which was diabetes, and try to make an influence on something that's more preventable, which is breast cancer through a mammogram. The many shared risk factors, obviously, between breast cancer and diabetes. Physical activity, nutrition, but there's also shared risk factors that have been shown in the literature among Latinas specifically that are more psychosocial. Fear of going to the provider, the fear of finding out that you might have something because you're going to die from it. So there was more overlap between these two conditions than just the clinical overlap. And more recently, people are finding out that there's even some genetic factors that might be connected between diabetes and breast cancer. But for us, the big thing was that, granted, there's already a clinical connection. People are coming in for diabetes management. Why not take advantage of that to do something around mammography? At the same time, when they're coming in for diabetes care, they're going to be counseled for risk factors that also would influence breast cancer. So it made the idea for a study even stronger, which is why we proposed it. We received funding to do a small pilot study, very tiny 18-month pilot study, to see if we could find a way to increase mammography among diabetic Latinas. And the primary outcome is mammography, but we also looked at some other risk factors. The partners was Golden Valley Health Centers in the Valley, Seabeach, which is actually based here in San Diego, Center for Behavioral Epidemiology and Community Health. And we also had a community partner, Women of Courage, which was instrumental in this, mainly because it was important to have people who were suffering from breast cancer or have gone through the experience of breast cancer to inform how would we be able to connect the two. It wasn't enough for us just to have clinicians on board and researchers to try to connect to. It really helped to have community members on board. The setting is 25 federally qualified health centers in Merced and Stanislaus counties, again, smack in the middle of California. They've been around for a while, since 1972. Very busy setting, very characteristic of many community health centers and many clinics throughout the United States who are serving underrepresented communities. In our situation, the majority of patients were Latino, 78%. Quite a few, some would probably say, depending on the clinic, over half being limited English proficient. And the majority of staff are bilingual, Spanish-speaking. Now, I want to point out, though, that even though the majority of staff are bilingual, Spanish-speaking, this refers to primarily medical assistants, so not the providers and the physicians. The bilingual staff are usually the ones who are interpreting for physicians in a high agricultural community. We developed what we would call minimal intervention. It was something that could be done fairly quickly and could be tied into existing diabetes care. So we didn't want to create something that would overwhelm the providers and physicians. We wanted to make something that could build into what's already happening so we could take advantage of the fact that they're there for diabetes care. One was taking advantage of the progress note. Every chart has a progress note for someone who comes in for diabetes. And as simple as it sounds, we had found a connection in looking at the charts through chart review between the last gynecological visit and whether that actually led to a receipt of a mammogram. So what we simply did is added a prompt onto the diabetes progress note to have the question of when was the last gynecological visit. So the assumption was that if we knew that that would lead to a mammogram and we could tie it into some natural conversation taking place during diabetes visit, it might increase mammography. So very simple. This was helpful because, as you can imagine, many of these forms and many community health centers are very well established, so nobody wants to change the forms. So the last thing you want to do is create a new survey of some sort. So for us, just to add that simple little variable took quite a bit of discussion. Then we also did some interesting ways to try to inform the patients because we wanted to get both the providers and patients mobilized around mammography and diabetes. So we created a cutout that I'll show you in a bit. I almost brought it with me, but it seemed hard to carry around, of a physician, a Latina physician from the sites that would prompt for mammography. And then also we worked with the community group and the clinicians to develop a fotonovela that was tailored for the sites that were part of the study. So there's the fotonovela. We called it Perla. Perla was the main character. We used participants from the clinics. So there was really the cost for this were tremendously low given what normally would cost to do something like this. And we also added a focus on diabetes, even though this primarily was focusing on getting a mammogram. This is the cutout. She looks pretty real, doesn't she? We take Dr. Diego with us in cars, and it almost seems like you have a passenger with you in the car. So she folds in half. There's a little microphone which is near the stethoscope that talks to you when you go by. So we put this in the waiting room, and now remember, the providers have their own prompts when they get the back. But patients would walk by. We put the microphone a bit higher because most of our patients are coming with kids, and we didn't want the microphone to be going all the time. And she does a very simple 10, not even 10-second script that says, you may be at risk if you're this age. Please consider asking your provider for a mammogram. Last but not least, we took advantage of the fact that during a diabetes self-management visit, there's a behavioral assessment that's used anyway. We just adapted it a little bit to add three simple questions that would prompt for the risk factors around nutrition and physical activity and then getting a foot exam. The community intervention side, again, I mentioned we had a community advisory group that met monthly, and they were instrumental in giving us feedback. So what was nice about this group is they met once a month for pizza or food, but it was a very stable source for us to get feedback. So we didn't have to go and reinvent the wheel of doing focus groups. It was a constant source of about 15 people that would come together and test things out for us here and there. As I said, it's a pilot study. So it's fairly small. We tried it with two clinical sites, one control, one intervention. At baseline, we had Latinas with diabetes that were between 40 and 70 without a mammogram, 48 at the control and 88 at the intervention site. Very short intervention period, 6 months. So either we're going to see something or not. Now, normally within a six-month period, the way the clinic has things set up is the Latinas with diabetes would probably come in at least twice. So we were ensured to have at least one point of contact, if not more. The primary dependent variable was age-appropriate mammograms with chart review. Secondary dependent variable was the HbA1c levels. We wanted to make sure, we had to make a case more than make sure, to the clinicians that the intervention on mammography would not ruin diabetes results. So we were looking for that as a secondary dependent variable, mainly to see was it stable, did it go down. If there were any problems with that, then there would be concerns of your mammography intervention has messed up our diabetes intervention, and that's not good. Correlates were visit frequency, are they coming in, and referrals from a mammogram through chart review. And then we also did a very brief phone survey, a pre- and post-interview survey for psychosocial factors, fears, concerns of why you are getting a mammogram or not. Baseline findings across sites didn't vary statistically. 49% of the women know they should have a mammogram, so at least half have some idea that, hey, I should be getting a mammogram. Then these are women who did not have a mammogram. 34% knew someone who died of breast cancer. 49% had ever asked their doctor for a mammogram, so we really were hoping that that poster of the physician would make a difference. And 76% would like the clinics to offer more information on how to prevent breast cancer. And those were all diabetic Latinas. So what we found was promising, and even though it was very small, At baseline, 27% versus the program site, 47% had a mammogram, age-appropriate mammogram. This was the overall clinics, not the study participants. The increase, though, for the study participants between control and program sites was statistically significant, although tiny. And we went from 12% increase in the control to 18% in the program site. So very small but promising. The A1C levels stayed steady, a little bit lower at the program site, but not statistically significant, which meant that we didn't destroy or damage in somehow the diabetes effect that was happening in the clinics. And then diabetic patients coming in with more than one time within 6 months, only 35% at the control and 56% at the program site. So what that says at the bottom there really is we didn't get enough exposure to the intervention. So that was something we didn't anticipate. We were hoping that we'd actually have more visits. And what the clinics found out is that we need to find some way to get more of our diabetic Latinas to actually come in for a self-management visit. Conclusions, we were able to confirm that there were lower mammography rates among Latinas. In our clinics, people didn't believe that. So even though the health disparities literature may show a lot of the differences, ethnic differences within the clinical sites, that's something that really help to verify with your own patients. Measurement activities didn't actually improve delivery of services. We did get some better patient outcomes, although small. More importantly, though, for the clinic and for the community partners, they strengthened their relationships and they're still working together on the same intervention. So that was very exciting to see. On the research side, given that this was a collaborative partnership, it was important for us to figure out how we can test effects on services that are already happening. So if we were to actually make a difference in some of the health disparities we're talking about, and we were actually going to implement these things through existing clinics, we have to find some ways to do this within existing methods and use existing forms of measurement. Hiring staff for the research, this was the first time that the clinics actually hired research staff within their clinic as opposed to working with researchers outside of the clinic, and that made a big difference in making this happen. And then also paying for this kind of support. As you can imagine, doing this kind of research in the clinics without any payment usually doesn't work out very well. So next steps, I think for us, it was very important to think about how can we take advantage of existing chronic conditions that most immigrants and underrepresented communities already experience. There's a big opportunity there to take advantage of some disparities that would force people to come into the clinics more often to actually address other disparities that may be less frequent. And that was very exciting for us to see. Obviously, prompts work. That wasn't necessarily new, but continuing to use provider prompts is very important. And then planning how to incorporate research into the development and delivery of what existing services. We were very fortunate at the end of this study to use the existing data and apply for subsequent grants. So now we're just in the process of starting a 3-year grant that will take what we found from this study and see how we can actually improve the outcomes with a larger trial. Thank you.
For me for the last 3 days. I have back pain actually from this. So you said I should go down. It doesn't work.